I have an interview here to play for you that I did with the late Gary Rhodes back in 2008. And I was listening to it on Friday to put it together. I sound very young. I was young. I was 28 when I did the interview, but I sound a little excitable. I could have been a children's TV presenter, I reckon. But yes, hopefully it won't spoil the interview, because it really was fabulous to chat to him. I talk about at the beginning, I mentioned the word dancer, because I spoke to him just after he was in Strictly Come Dancing, and he didn't do particularly well, but he was ever so entertaining. So enjoy.
My next guest is well-known and much-loved chef, restaurateur, best-selling author, and can we say dancer, Gary Rhodes?
Thank you, Hannah. I'm not so sure about that. Your last little sort of quote there. No, I'm not quite sure about the dancing bit, but if you'd like to dance, I'm ready.
We loved watching you, Gary. I mean, you did seem like you were enjoying it on the Strictly Come Dancing. I do have to mention it.
Well, no, I did. I mean, it was great fun. I mean, I learned so much from Karen in such a short space of time. And, you know, I lasted on, well, third week, now I was voted out. So very young in the show, but it was great fun to do. And there was great spirit amongst everybody. And I think that was one of the nicest things of all, that one thing I've gained from it is lots of new friends. Mm. And that can never be a bad thing.
Absolutely. I wanted to ask you how you feel about the term celebrity chef, because, you know, when you're on television at things like Strictly Come Dancing, you're introduced as celebrity chef Gary Rhodes. And I know some chefs quite like it and some absolutely hate it. So I wanted to ask how you felt about the phrase.
Well, I'm one of the latter. I don't like it at all, because it gives a wrong impression. You know, the moment you say celebrity, it's almost somebody's in it for a game, you know, and that's no disrespect to other celebrities, you know, actors or whatever, you know, at all. But as far as chefs are concerned, I'm a professional chef. I've been cooking now for over 30 years. And, you know, my career and my restaurants and so forth and so on are the most important thing to me. Television has always been wonderful, but it's a supplement to my career. It's the bonus, you know, if you like. And so, you know, the thing is, within the TV world, you never know how long it's going to last. It could all be great one minute and all be gone the next. So I try and stay very, 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 very realistic and make sure I concentrate my time on the restaurants and then fit in the TV where possible.
Mm. I understand that a lot of your peers and some of the other chefs often refer to you as the chef, which is quite a compliment, I guess.
Well, I take that as a great, great compliment. You know, it's been mentioned many times in many articles, and that, you know, from all of what you might call, in inverted commas here, the celebrity chefs, other chefs have always thought, they know that Rhodes is a professional chef. And that's something, as I say, I take as one of my highest accolades possible, to have all of us, you know, showing that respect. Mm. That's something else.
Also, you're very well known as an ambassador, really, for British cuisine, aren't you? You've taken a lot of classic British recipes and sort of revamped them and made them modern.
Yeah, very much so. Because, I mean, when you look at it, in Britain, we have some of the finest produce, if not the finest produce in the world. And many, many years ago, in fact, it was sort of around the mid-80s, I decided, well, if we've got the greatest produce, why haven't we got some of the greatest dishes that are respected worldwide? And it was at that point I decided I wanted to really be predominantly all about great British food and reintroduce great old classics that people have been missing for years, but with perhaps a little bit of a French influence. So try and actually refine them and give them another edge and another personality. But number one, they've still got that great British theme to them.
Mm. I want to take you back to your childhood, because I understand you began experimenting in the kitchen right from quite a young age, didn't you?
Yeah, very much so. I mean, children seem to be, you know, cooking at a much younger age today. But back in those days, a young lad at school at the age of sort of 12, 13 did not go in the kitchen with his mother. You know, I daren't go and tell all of my buddies the next day at school, I just made a lemon sponge with lemon sauce for supper. You know, you just told them you scored a hat trick in a football match instead. And, you know, because you think, oh, my goodness me, I'd have been some kind of, you know, odd lad. But, you know, it was something that I really enjoyed, and it was helping my mother, you know, take on the family meals. And then I finally started, I became sort of the home cook during the week before taking on the Sunday lunch. And that was just incredible. I loved it. And I thought, this is what I want to do. I'd always, up until that point, wanted to be a policeman, wanted to join the Metropolitan Police, was convinced that's what I was going to do. The moment I started cooking, my mind was changed, and I've been hooked ever since.
How different your life could have been, eh?
Well, it certainly could have been. You're right. I mean, I think the hours are very similar, very, you know, sort of unsociable, but hours we have to work. However, you know, the great thing is about cooking, you know, if you can still love something 30 years on and it gives you inspiration, and I want to be cooking it for another 30 years, should I last that long? But certainly, I don't think I can ever see myself quite retiring. You know, I think I'll always be involved in the kitchen one way or another.
Well, there's lots of people all over the UK and possibly all over the world who'd be very glad to hear you say that. It's interesting, you're talking about when you were younger and how you wouldn't tell the mates that you'd just made a lemon sponge pudding or something. Do you think it's quite a good thing then that there are, in the last maybe 5-10 years or so, that there are an awful lot of male, inverted commas, celebrity chefs that are possibly making young people, or especially young guys, thinking that cooking is fashionable, cooking is okay, it's not something to be embarrassed about?
Certainly now, goodness me, when I listen, I've got two sons, one of 20, one of 18, and they are forever in competition with their buddies as who's going to do the best supper. They, you know, I remember my son calling me, they're both at different universities, and, you know, they're calling me, Dad, the six of us coming for supper tonight. What do you think I should cook? Because it's my turn, you know, and I want to impress Dad. What do you think? You know, and we're chatting about food over the phone. And, you know, they all want to beat the other. And that's good to have that little bit of, you know, fun competitiveness, you know, and that's what it's all about. They're thinking, well, I'm going to do a really nice little simple pasta dish. I'll do a carbonara, but just the way my dad does it, you know, and this sort of thing. And I think it's fantastic to hear that, because they want to go out and buy fresh ingredients and enjoy good food. It becomes a great social event. And let's face it, the greatest social point in the world is the dinner table. It draws family and friends together. So if, you know, we've got all of our young children now wishing to be part of that. And it is good that, you know, celebrity chefs have helped that along. No question about that.
I want to get on very shortly to your new book, because we've got a copy here in front of me and it's absolutely fantastic and would just make a wonderful Christmas present. It's called Gary Rhodes 365, 1 year, one book, one simple recipe for every day. It's a really great idea, I have to say. It's a really good idea for a different format for a cookery book.
Yeah, I mean, that's something that, you know, all the time, my mind is always alive for new dishes. And, you know, years ago when I was writing cookery books, I must admit, you wanted to try and show off to your peers. So you've all of these sort of restaurant-y style dishes that very few people would be able to achieve. And then you started to realize, well, I started to realize and recognize that, you know, that these were becoming coffee table cookery books. And that's not what I want to be known for in terms of... you know, in the book world. So basically, I thought, right, now I'm going to start sharing with everybody what I like to cook at home. They're simple. I don't stand at the stoves all day long. I want to do simple, good ingredients, but just using fresh ingredients. And again, you know, sort of hopefully promoting British produce as much as possible. But this book was great fun because we broke it down into, you know, from anything from breakfast right the way through to a late supper, through to dinner parties and even including the Christmas lunch and Easter and everything else that goes with it. So, you know, every single recipe I think is achievable. It's easy. Just some take a little longer than others.
Yeah, I mean, that's the important thing, that the fact that they are achievable and quite simple to follow. There was a statistic recently, a few weeks ago, I think now, that said the amount of people who are constantly buying cookbooks, but then they never actually use them. They look at them and go, oh, this looks lovely. Oh, this sounds nice. And then it just kind of sits on the shelf, which is a huge shame. But I think I was thinking the reason for that is possibly because some of them can be quite complicated.
That's so true, so true. You start to read interest, because you think, oh, goodness me, I can't achieve this. Yeah. I know, no way. So that's what I wanted to veer well away from and make sure that all of these dishes are really achievable. And I make it clear, you know, if a recipe is going to take that little longer, I'll say in an introduction that this one takes a bit more time, but it's not difficult. It's just that the cooking process is slightly longer. Having said that, there's other dishes for supper, for instance, which are these one-pot dishes. Everything goes in one pot, a splash of stock or whatever on top, and all ingredients in, lid on top, up to the simmer, in your oven for 2.5 hours, and then you have the most sensational sort of casserole or stew or something like that that can be enjoyed by all at the table. And I think that's one of the great things as well. You can plan ahead, pop everything into that pot, throw it in your oven, enjoy good company, and then it literally goes straight onto the table, and you're all delving in with that ladle full of goodies into your bowl. And I think, for me, that's how we eat quite a lot at home. You know, those really basic, simple foods, but goodness me, they're good to eat.
That sounds perfect. It's making me hungry. I just want to run through some of your achievements before we let you go, because I was reading your biography and just constantly going, wow. The first sort of major thing, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, when you were appointed head chef at the Castle Hotel in Taunton in Somerset, and then managed to retain the hotel's Michelin star at the age of just 26.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly didn't think I'd be able to do that, you know, when I went in and I thought, well, I'm sure they'll take the Michelin star away because I'm young and so forth and so on. But we obviously came up with the goods because we maintained it and then continued with it for the 5 years I was there. And to date now, I've achieved 6-1 Michelin star restaurants too, wow, which are up and running still. So I feel very proud of that.
Yeah, you know, you should be, absolutely. I was speaking to Raymond Blanc the other day, and we were talking about the restaurant and everything, and I didn't really fully understand before I spoke to him how difficult it is to retain the stars and how easy it can be for them to be taken away.
Very much so. I mean, it is a risky world, this industry, and you can become complacent. You feel that, oh, we're good enough, we can continue to do it, but you've always got to work harder for something. I always want to try and beat and better the previous year, but the most important thing to me is the customer. You know, it's about understanding customer needs and providing a service to them. If you think about it, we're part of the entertainment business. You know, it's almost like coming to the theater. You walk into a restaurant, you go and have your drink in the bar, you go and take your seat, you know, the curtains open, the food starts to arrive, and we put on a show. And that's a show in terms of food, and even more of a show in terms of quality of service. And I want it to be, a night to be remembered. From the moment they approach that door, front door of the restaurant, we all know that first impressions last. So I want to make sure we're welcoming them with open arms and looking after them throughout. And that is, without any shadow of a doubt, priority to me. And then the stars that come with it, the Michelin stars and AA rosettes and all these lovely things, are a great supplement. But it's certainly a hard work to maintain them, yes.
I have to ask you, in terms of achievements on all the different things that you've done in your career and achieved in your career, cooking for royalty, prime ministers, presidents, on the QE2, the Orient Express, and then even cooking for people like Princess Diana and Manchester United. Is it possible to sort of pinpoint your greatest achievement? Is there any one thing that you think, wow, that was pretty special?
My greatest achievement, without any shadow of a doubt, was marrying my wife. And that was the greatest thing. And I believe that was the biggest achievement of all. I've got her now, so I'm a happy man.
What a wonderful answer. Well, that's really, really beautiful. And it's been absolutely fantastic having you on the Food Show with us today, Gary Rhodes. Thanks so much for joining us. Listeners can get a copy of your latest book or any of your books from amazon.co.uk. Thanks, Gary. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Anna. Thank you. Lovely speaking to you.
Oh, how amazing it was to hear that back, an interview that I did 11 years ago. And that answer, that last answer that he gave was honestly one of the best answers I've ever had for any interview question throughout the many years I've been doing this now. When people say, you know, what's your favourite interview, I always remember that answer because I really thought it was just so beautiful. And really sad hearing him say there, I hope I'll be cooking for another 30 years if I last that long. And that was 11 years ago he said that. Incredibly sad, but lovely to hear the interview that I did with the late Gary Rhodes.